This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And we still have to tackle history, milking snails, Tom Tillis, eating two-bone wings, the guy called them, all that and so much more on the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin with something political really quickly, though. A couple political things. First, I want to congratulate you once again on something that was big. It was big, even if you don't realize it was big, but it was enormous. The election of Donald Trump. Now, stop. You know I'm not doing dumbed down stuff. Just hang with me for a second. It wasn't just big because of securing the border and all those other things. Remember when Democrats, they just decided to go full communist. Joe Biden was not able to control them because he wasn't strong enough. And they just started lawfare like we have never seen in the United States of America before, ever. They sent prosecutors to kick in the doors of pro-lifers, January Sixers, anybody who was anywhere in Trump's orbit they could get on a crime. They would arrest them. They'd arrest them publicly. They would invite CNN. Remember when they arrested Roger Stone with a SWAT team and someone invited CNN to videotape the whole thing? They just turned into these savage wild animals like they've always wanted to be. New York, remember what happened to Trump in New York? The arrests, Georgia, the arrests, Florida, the Mar-a-Lago raid. They just turned into Stalin, into Lenin. Completely evil, using the Department of Justice against their political opponents. And that can and probably did, to be honest, created a cycle that can end the country. However, something really, really, really important happened when the country kept rejecting those things. Remember the primary, for example? People forget Donald Trump was always up in the Republican primary and was probably always going to win that Republican primary. But DeSantis, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Heavy D, is just the best. And he was a darling on the right. And he was such a darling that he had closed, the polls were closing, and he had closed to within 10 points of Donald Trump in that primary. And then something happened. You know what happened? The first arrest of Donald Trump. Boom. Trump got arrested. He was instantly up 30 points, and it was never close after that. Never even a sniff for anyone else. But that's not just the GOP primary voter. Every time the scumbag leftists arrested or imprisoned Donald Trump, his poll numbers went up. And you could tell they kept being baffled by it. And they kept going with this line, felon. Well, he's a felon. You gotta trust a felon? And yet, up, 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 up. Every time they arrested him. Huh, we got a mugshot. Up in the polls. We arrested him in New York. Up in the polls. We found a judgment against him. Up in the polls. What happened was incredible. Because what the communists may have learned. It's not that I think they'll stop their evil ways. But what they may have learned is, it's an election loser to use the justice system against your political opponents. Listen to this from CNN.
I'm going to agree with you that Democrats cannot only be the party of resistance. We cannot, like, we resisted so hard between 2017 and 2024. We impeached the guy, like, we Boys. Prosecuted him, convicted him of 34 felony counts. And guess what? He still got elected. So I don't know how much harder we can resist right
are
now.
Are you admitting that, that the case against Trump in New York was part of the organized Democratic Party resistance?
It was a Democratic prosecutor. And at the time, at the time, I said I thought it was unwise. I went on Fox News and said
there were Democrats who said this at the time.
Listen to what she just said at the end. You hear what she said? Remember, you're never going to appeal to these people's morality. In New York, New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, she publicly ran on arresting Donald Trump. That's so evil anyway. Then she got arrested, and unlike Republicans, she actually fulfilled her campaign promise and went after him. And this lady, looking back on all that evil, she didn't say it was wrong. She didn't say it was evil. She simply said it was unwise. Unwise, you see. It's not that it's evil. It's not that it's wrong. It just didn't work out for the poll numbers. Therefore, it was unwise. It's not that I think the communists won't use the justice system again against their political opponents, because they will. They can't help themselves. When communists get power, it doesn't matter what it is, they could have the power of a stapler. They would find a way to use it for the revolution. When they get positions like attorney general and DA, the senator, whatever it is, they use it for the revolution. So it's not as if I feel like they're never going to do this again. But by rejecting that at the polls, the American people going out and overwhelmingly voting for Donald Trump, he even won the popular vote, there is a chance at least. I believe that gave us a chance that the next time these people are in a position to do something like that, maybe it gives them a moment of pause. Not because of their morality, not because they realized it's wrong, as you heard. They didn't wake up one day and say, this is wrong. That's not it at all. Maybe next time they're considering arresting their political opponents for, honestly, pretty nakedly political reasons. No one could even outline the crimes. Maybe next time they sit and stop and say, wait a minute. Last time we did this, we got crushed in the election. Maybe strategically it's a bad move to arrest this guy. By electing Donald Trump and rejecting Democrat lawfare, there is a chance we save the entire country. And I'm not even talking about Trump's policies. I'm not talking about the border or trade or anything like that. There is a chance the American people save the United States of America by rejecting communist lawfare. That makes me feel good. I hope it makes you feel good. You should feel proud. Dear Oracle, I think you're off a bit. The subject of this one is chess versus checkers. When you heard Tom Tillis squash the vote to advance Ed Martin, you wanted him called out. That's what is called an extinction burst, instant anger. He said, you can take credit for this in future use. Trump is an elephant. He never forgets. He might forgive, but never forgets. These rhinos will face his wrath sooner rather than later. Your thoughts? No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that. You know I'm more than happy to compliment Trump when he does good. I've done it several times during this show. Donald Trump is awful at endorsements and choosing Republicans. No, I don't believe that at all. No, that's what you want him to be. You want him to lay in wait and take out the next rhino. No, he lays in wait and he endorses the next rhino and tries to take out the next conservative. That's not what he does. He's terrible at it. Dear Small Hand Jerk Service. It's not very nice, okay? We're not naming it Jesse's Jerk Service. I already said, what, Chris, what? Well, we're not calling it that. I misspoke. I understand it has branding now, but that's just because everybody's being mean. I will step in and be a jerk on your behalf. Initially, because I was just doing it off the top of my head on the air, I said we could call it Jesse's Jerk Service. But then I realized that probably doesn't sound like what I was going for, and so we're not going to call it Jesse's Jerk Service. Virtually every other name I've come up with, though, sounds somehow worse than Jesse's jerk service. You know the, do you know the bad, there's a bad word that starts with a P that I'm not going to say because kids are listening, okay? There's a bad word that references something that starts with a P. I was about to say we could call it Jesse's that service, but then that sounds even, I know, Chris, that sounds even worse. What? You said Jesse's jerk service has sticking power. You know what, Chris? If you're going to take everyone else's side, we just need to not talk anymore. Okay, this is not fun. I can see you're having fun. I'm not having any fun at all. Ketanji Brown Jackson's having fun being a savage in the Supreme Court.
I would think we'd want the system to move as quickly as possible to reach the merits of the issue and maybe have this court decide whether or not the government is entitled to do this under the law. Wouldn't having universal injunctions actually facilitate that? It seems to me that when the government is completely enjoined from...
I just want to point out that when Democrats get elected, they find the most partisan judge humanly possible and put them on the Supreme Court so that person will be a warrior for their cause until the day they retire. When Republicans do it, we get losers like Amy Coney Barrett. We have got to do a lot better. I don't listen to Ketanji Brown Jackson and get angry at them. I get angry at us for how pathetic our people are. Anyway, back to the emails. Maybe some history. Next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Cannot get the smile off my face. Did you hear Savannah Hernandez? She interviewed this street communist. Of course, the lady has blue hair. Remember what we were talking about earlier? About why these people talk so casually and so often about murdering you, murdering Trump, murdering Republicans. I wish he would die. I hope someone shoots him. I hope he has a heart attack. This is how Democrats, normal, not even activists, this is how Democrats speak about the other side when they're in circles. You know what's crazy? I guarantee you I will show up on Monday and we will have emails flooding in of people who tell me about the Democrats in their life, live, work, or wherever, who say things like this all the time. I hope they die. It'd be easier if he would just die. Well, I hope someone would shoot him. Why? Well, remember, everybody who aids the revolution, no matter what, no matter what their conduct is, no matter what their history is, that is an ally, a friend. He deserves every accommodation you can give him. And vice versa, everybody who opposes the revolution is somebody who has to be removed by any means necessary. Maybe you kill them. Maybe you arrest them. Maybe whatever the case may be, if you're an enemy of the revolution, then you are subject to the worst possible things. Now, who's the sweetest, nicest person you can possibly think of? The nicest lady you've ever known in your life? And Mother Teresa. Let's say Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa comes up. But Mother Teresa, this, you know, saintly nun, she comes out and says, hey, I voted for Donald Trump. Immediately, in the minds of an American Democrat, she becomes a mortal enemy that has to be stomped, hurt, killed, removed in some way because she's an enemy of the revolution. Now, on the other side of it, what if there was a, I mean, what's the worst thing in the world? Oh, let's just use the audio for an example. Is a child rapist not the worst, most evil thing on the planet? It is, right? So surely American Democrats would want a child rapist held to account. Well, I mean, I guess it all depends. Is he aid the revolution or not?
But you don't care if they're the worst criminal in the world and they have raped and murdered children. They're okay and they're still human beings and they should be here?
I believe that they are human beings and that they deserve dignity just as everybody else.
You think child rapists deserve dignity?
Absolutely, I do.
It's not about anything but the revolution to that freak. That's how these people think. Jesse, what's the proper way to eat two bone wings? Hey, but they're not called two-bone wings, okay? Two-bone wings was Kamala Harris's nickname in college. They're called flats. What, Chris? It's fine. Flats. I have something very, very embarrassing to say. And I know that I'm going to hate myself for telling you this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. I prefer flats. That's not the embarrassing thing. A lot of people prefer flats. My kids prefer drumsticks. I prefer flats. It works out great. Here's how I do the flats, and I know it's not the most efficient. It is, however, what I have found to be most effective. I take one side, bite it, tear the meat off. I flip the wing, dunk it in the blue cheese again. Other side, bite it, take the meat off. Now, I've got two naked bones, and I still have the meat in the center. Look, I have limited athletic ability. I admit that. But there are some things about me as a Kelly that I simply inherited. One thing is I have big feet. I have wide shoulders. I have an extremely powerful tongue. Right? What, Chris? I have a powerful tongue. It just always has had great strength. I don't know why. No, Chris, that's enough. I don't know why my tongue has such great strength inside of it. It's just God-given, I guess. So when I get the flat and I've chewed the meat off one side and chewed the meat off the other side, I hold it up to my mouth and I tongue punch the meat out the other end. Chris, I don't need you making these faces when I'm trying to explain how I eat the wings, okay? It's hard enough explaining this. I tongue punch the meat out the other side, and I even do the leap, leap, leap thing. I move my tongue back and forth a couple times to make sure the meat is clean. Then the meat's sticking out the other side. Quick flip, bite, snip, clean wing. Done. What, Chris? They separate? I know they separate, Chris. And weak-tongued people like you need to separate them. I don't have to go to the trouble of tearing the bones apart like some sort of an animal because I'm blessed with an extremely powerful tongue. You don't have one of those, obviously, so you have to tear the wings apart. I will continue to go with my method because God's gifts allow me to eat wings in this way. I'm not telling you to try this. Because your tongue is probably not, it's probably not where mine is. And I'm sorry about that. But you can call me the tongue master. No, don't call me that. But you understand what I mean. It's powerful and it helps me eat flats with an efficiency that most men can only dream of. Now let's talk about Congress and history. Let's talk about Ruff Greens. I love Fred. He's an idiot. I will admit that he's an idiot, but I love Fred. He was not doing well when I left the house today. He doesn't do well when he sees me grab the keys. He was very upset. And so that's going to require extra love and affection when I get home to make sure he's okay. You see what we have to go through with the dog? But Fred used to have horrible digestive problems because of that anxiety. And it was so taxing on us, always having to clean up awful things after the dog. We got tired of it. We were looking for solutions. Ruff Greens has just changed us. It's changed things so much. Because Ruff Greens has vitamins and minerals, but it also has digestive enzymes and probiotics and things like that in it. It doesn't just shine up your dog's coat, make their breath better. Fred doesn't have digestive problems anymore. Fred's going to live longer. Because of Ruff Greens, and I want to thank naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black for a variety of things. What a great guy he is, Green Beret, and for Ruff Greens itself. I know my wife really appreciates it. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. And look, I played Ketanji Brown Jackson earlier, and maybe you're wondering why I didn't go on and on about the Supreme Court decision today, why I'm not losing my mind about the Supreme Court decision today. I should probably explain myself, why I've just basically cast the issue aside. I think I spent a minute on it on the show. Allow me to explain myself. My feelings on it, I have already vented before. I don't feel the need to vent them again. It is the Supreme Court, is the court itself that is losing legitimacy, not Donald Trump. Every time they do something like this, it what it does in the minds of the people is it delegitimizes the court. When there's a 7-2 vote saying you can't deport gang members, you've delegitimized yourself. What I believe has to happen is Donald Trump has to ignore the Supreme Court. Deport every single illegal in the country. Ignore the Supreme Court. If anybody tries to stop you, whether it is a general, a judge, a senator, a whoever, arrest them too and throw them in prison. You cannot survive as a country if the communists are going to bring in 20 million people every time they get power and you are stopped from deporting them. So you can stop your emails. I don't need your email about, well, this about the Constitution or this. What if we don't? No, no, none of your arguments, none of them will mean anything to me at all. And that's why I'm not spending any time on this. It is quite simple. If we are not allowed to deport as fast as the communists import, we will no longer have a country. And that's why the communists are doing it. Everything else doesn't matter. Trump will ignore the Supreme Court or we don't have a country. So there, that's why I'm moving off of it. Jesse, with the left's hatred of statues and monuments, their description of them as monuments to death and destruction, what does that statue of a large black woman say? Well, look, hold on. Let's be clear. Communists don't hate monuments and statues. That's not at all what they hate. In fact, they build them all the time. There are brand new ones all over the place. They don't hate monuments and statues. They hate your history. Your history, as we talked about before on the show, your history is actually really, really, really important because it forms who you are and how you think about yourself. What is it about your home specifically? What is it about your home that makes it special to you? What is it? I will tell you, you know, I'm not exactly a touchy-feely, flowery type person, emotional type person. I've moved a lot in my life, a lot. 10 houses in 10 years at one point in time. I've moved everywhere, moved a lot. Every single time we moved out of a house or an apartment or a cabin or wherever we happen to be living, every single time, I wouldn't cry, but I would take one last look at it on the way out and I would get emotional. Why? It's just carpet, plaster, and paint. And why? Because of the memories from the house. The memory. It's the what happened in the house. Hey, that's where we opened Christmas gifts. That's where my son took his first steps. That's where I used to hang out with my dad there. It's the memories that are in the house. That's what matters. Your country operates in much the same way. You put up things like statues and monuments and things like that. You put them up to honor, respect, and remember your history. And as a reminder to people
about who they are, where they come from, what they stand for. It's really important to your value system. Your past is important to your value system. That is why communists try to tear down monuments and statues. They rename parks. They rename streets. They rename military bases. That is why they go after all historical things. And they'll come up with any excuse they can to do this. Never believe the branding. It's never about the Confederacy or racism. It's never about any of that stuff. It's about deleting all your past. Because once they do that, once they have unchained you from anything, family, country, values, then they can make whatever they want of you. They can paint whatever future they want of you. That's why they do it. Destroy everything that came before you. And yeah, Chris, actually grab it. Destroy everything that came before you so they can then make whatever they want out of your future. You would never sign on to some horrible dystopian communist hellhole future if you actually remembered and appreciated the founding of your country, that you were free, that people fought a war to make sure you're free. Why do you think Kamala Harris loved this line so much?
We have dreams. We can see what is possible, unburdened by what has been.
Unburdened by what has been. Remember how much we used to make fun of her for that? Why'd we make fun of her? Because she used that line all the time. Speech after speech after speech. I bet we have a montage in there of it. Unburdened. Oh, you have one? Oh, go ahead. Good.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been. You know?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been.
All right, stop. We don't have enough time left in the show. Jewish producer Chris told me that goes on for 4 minutes. I could have played that. Well, that's a lot of love for that line. Why? Why did she wrap both of her hands around that line and just squeeze? Why? Well, that's everything to the communist. Your past, your parents, and those values they taught you, that's a burden. Be unburdened by the Constitution, America being free. That's a burden. Unburden yourself of that past. Just look at me. Trust me. I will design for you a beautiful future. I will create a future, but we can't do that until you unburden yourself from that past. Aren't those values of your parents such a burden? You don't need that. Just trust me. That's how communists operate. Jesse, I heard you talking about history nearly, if not every evening, and you certainly sound like you know your history and historical events, and I have to ask, when your attempt to Congress unfortunately didn't work out, why didn't you become a history teacher? You certainly know your stuff. I wonder if you ever thought about it or considered it. Well, I need to go to college for that. And here's the thing about college. In college, they make you take algebra. Did you know that? And that's really hard. And so that was definitely a big holdup. It was the algebra thing. There's no two. I just didn't want to go to college. I'm actually really dumb. I don't do well in school. I function based on what I retain in the class, but I never really did homework per se, and I don't like to study because I find it boring. I find most of the teachers to be boring, and so that combined with the fact that I'm really extreme when I'm interested in something, I will wade into it and learn everything about it. That's the good news. The bad news is when I'm not interested in something, I don't retain any of it. None of it. And not only that, I'm not interested in trying. It's not like I just have to make myself do it. No, I don't want to make myself do it. You know, when I finally decided to drop out of community college after I got out of the Marine Corps, I remember the moment I did. I was working construction and I was going to Pima Community College at night. and it was for a test that was coming up. We had to learn what magma, you know, like lava or whatever, we had to learn what magma was made of. And not that there's anything wrong with knowing what magma is made of or learning anything about that, but I remember it. I remember what was on the page in the book, and I remember looking at this thinking, why am I here learning about magma? I don't have any desire to learn about magma. That doesn't change my life. I'm not interested. You know what? I'm out. So there. That's why I'm not a history teacher. Maybe my mind would have worked better if I'd been on chalk back then, but chalk wasn't around. I didn't have chalk to give me better focus. I didn't have chalk to keep me energized and ready to learn about magma and all the other boring crap you learn in school. I didn't have chalk. I was chalkless, and therefore, I was directionless. Do you want energy? You want to feel good again? I'm talking natural energy. You want your mind to work great? Chalk's male vitality stack or female vitality stack will change your entire life. Whether you are a man or a woman, old, young, these are natural herbal supplements from the most hardcore anti-communists ever. Remember, chalk came around during COVID when they were telling everybody, take that stupid mask off. They used to get in trouble for it. That's how hardcore chalk is. Go get a subscription. In 90 days, you're about to feel like a new person. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. One more segment. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of The Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, a fantastic Friday. I'll get to a couple more questions in a moment. I wanted to play one more soundbite. It's an older one, but remember Daniel Penny, New York City, that United States Marine. Crazed dude gets on the subway, starts freaking out. Daniel Penny puts him in the chokehold. Drugged out dude ends up dying. Well, they tried to throw Daniel Penny in a cage for the rest of his life for that. Now, remember what we were talking about earlier about how if you are viewed as an ally of the revolution, no matter who you are, you could be a child rapist, no matter who you are viewed as a friend who needs to be taken care of at every turn. Doesn't matter who you are, how evil you are, what you've done. If you're helping the revolution, you are to be helped, and vice versa. If you are viewed as an enemy of the revolution, you could be the most gentle, saint, wonderful superhero. It doesn't matter at all. If the revolution considers you to be an enemy, you must be destroyed at any cost. You want a great example? This prosecutor's name is Daphna Uran. And she's talking about her efforts to throw Daniel Penny in a cage. Now, before I play this, remember violent crime from open jail policies is not an unfortunate byproduct of just liberals being nice. It is the goal of opening the jails. Communists have always wanted violent crime to increase during the revolutionary phase. This happened in the Soviet Union. Identical. The justice system would aid the violent criminals in getting out and staying out while throwing law-abiding people in prison. That's because violence, chaos, and all these things helps the revolution move forward. What is happening with these Soros prosecutor types is intentional. When a rapist gets out of jail and rapes someone else, and you say something like, how could they not see this coming? You're incredibly naive. They saw it coming. They let the rapist out so he would rape somebody else. I know, it's evil, but these people are demons. Now, back to Daniel Penny, prosecutor. Listen to the efforts made to ensure that the guy who stopped the violent criminal was punished.
Something that I did with a recent case of mine, and this was never has never been done in my office. I had a murder case where the defendant did not intentionally kill the victim. He went into an ATM on the Upper West Side and tried to rob an individual. Unfortunately, it was an older individual. He was 86. And in the course of the robbery, he fell to the ground. And as a result, he died. This is under the law, a felony murder, which is akin to intentional murder. However, when I first got the case, I learned, I took the time to learn about the defendant. And it was a strong case. So it wasn't about a whodunit. I knew immediately who did it. I could prove it. I could take it to trial that day and win it. But it wasn't about that. It was that the more I learned about the defendant and his life and the circumstances, the kinds of things that Jarrell was talking about, that one should take into account the trauma of that individual. I really felt incredibly sorry for him that he had gotten to that point in his life where he felt like there was no other choice but to.
She lowered the charges on a violent man who she could prove a murder on immediately, because as she dug into him, she figured out this was someone on her side. Daniel Penny, she worked and worked. She talks about this openly. Worked and worked and worked to bend over backwards, lower the charges, manipulate the charges, don't charge him with this, add this charge there in order to get him into a steel cage the rest of his life, no matter what. Why? One is an ally. And for an ally to a communist, an aide to the revolution, some violent nutball, he needs to remain free. She needs to be his friend. Somebody who stops violent criminals, that's a threat to the revolution. He has to be destroyed. That's how these people think. That's how they think.
So you don't care if they're the worst criminal in the world and they have raped and murdered children, they're okay and they're still human beings and they should be here?
I believe that they are human beings and that they deserve dignity just as everybody else.
You think child rapists deserve dignity?
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. Have you gotten some gold in your retirement yet, by the way, before we do emails that I didn't get to? Have you? Have you taken the time to get a hold of Gold Co? Look, you understand that it is, I consider it an insurance. It's not insurance, but I consider it insurance on the money I've saved. I save my money. I try to make sure I am saving for retirement one day. I'm sure you probably do the same. Imagine doing that. And then the market just blows up and everything's gone. And people have experienced this multiple times. Gold Co., I look at Gold Co. like insurance to make sure that's not going to happen. Because they'll get some precious metals as a portion of your retirement. What that does is it raises the floor. You can never lose it all with precious metals because they always have value. Find out what they can do for you. 855-817-GOLD. Or go to jessielikesgold.com. All right? All right.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By gold, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Dear professional jerk servicer, when you were talking about churros the other day, I wanted to let you know Jack in the Box has the best churros, and in your small hands, they may even look regular size. Okay, that one, that's not very nice. Two... I have something devastating to say. I am a Jack in the Box freak. I love Jack in the Box. Love it. One of my favorite fast food restaurants. But the one in my area is probably the worst one in the country. And I am aware that Jack in the Box can be rough. They haven't changed the oil at this Jack in the Box since Nixon was in office. The food is unedibly bad. And this is from a Jack in the Box freak. I haven't had Jack. I can only have it when I travel. It's devastating. Dear Jesse, I believe these rhinos are compromised by Democrats / communists for whoever, so on and so forth. As far as music, the military time was either Leonard Skinner or AC/DC. I'm not really sure what the question was, but I got you. I agree with most of that. Hey, Jesse, I've been called to jury duty. The letter said to bring some reading material. I plan on bringing my autographed copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto. Look, if you bring the Anti-Communist Manifesto in there, they're not going to allow you on the jury. I'm just giving you a heads up. This is something that many people have discovered. If the prosecutor in particular finds out that you are reading the Anti-Communist Manifesto, they are going to dismiss you from jury duty. Now, maybe that's your goal, but remember, I'm Mr. Jury Duty. It is Jury Foreman Jesse, after all. I'm Mr. Jury Duty, and I want you on that jury. We need you on that jury, and I need you to go have a good weekend, okay? Go enjoy your weekend. Our troubles will be here on Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.